May I have your attention, please? Watch alone, everyone.
Watch alone.
My name is Sonny J. Breeze Hawkins. I'd like to say forever as priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Bishop Abel Nabiah Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Bishop Abel now entering the sanctuary. And now I present one of the sons of Bishop Abel, Son of Bishop Abel, Deacon Yeshurun Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. May the peace of God be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. My title is The Power of Satan. Satan has a lot of power. Power to make your life miserable. If you allow it to affect you. We are told in Daniel 7:25 that we will be mentally attacked to cause us to fall away. She has the power to deceive and lie, but you don't have to listen. Please turn to 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 8, page 931. And it says, and then that lawless one will be revealed. Yeshua will be revealed with the breath of his mouth and make powerless with the appearance of his coming, whose coming is according to the energy of Satan, who works with all power and signs and lying wonders. And with all deceivableness of sin in those who are perishing, because they did not receive the love of truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, Yahweh will send them strong delusion that they would believe the deception in order that all And for this reason, I will send them strong delusion that they would believe the deception. See, Satan tries to pull you back from the house of Yahweh with lying propaganda and deception. He tries to change the name of Yahweh to names of pagan gods that should have never been used, names like Lord, Baal, and Elohim. Please turn to Isaiah 14, verse 12 through 14, page 538. How you have fallen from heaven, O Hillel, Lucifer, the prophetite, Venus, child of the light. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend above the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of Yahweh. I will sit in the highest place of the holy mountain of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. In this one word, Hillel, the root word of name Hilly, we can see from the history that she had fallen from being Yahweh's wife. She fell. She turned from a righteous being that upheld and taught Yahweh's laws. to become the adversary, the enemy of Yahweh, and all who reverence Yahweh by keeping his laws. When she did this, she became known as Hillel. Turn to Yechizkiah 28, verse 2, page 649. Son of man, say to that prince of Tyre, this is what Father Yahweh says, because your heart is lifted up and you have said, I am a God Elohim, and I sit in the seat of a God Elohim in the midst of the seas. I, Yahweh, therefore say to you, yet you are created me and not the Almighty, though you set your heart to be the Almighty. She lifted herself up as a Lord Baal and Elohim. Don't let Satan pull you into the world of fools. Stand up and say, get behind me, Satan. I don't want to hear it. I want Yahweh's way of life. In the second book of Yeshua, chapter 49, verse 120, it says, The laws are to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan. The power of Satan is darkness. It's the desirable way, the kind that the whole world loves. And from the power of Satan to Yahweh, that they might receive forgiveness. You won't receive forgiveness as long as you do not uphold everything that is written in this book. There is no way you will receive forgiveness if you break these laws. If you hang on to sin and keep hanging on to it, the time is coming very shortly. Now when you won't live any longer, you will be cast out where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. As the scripture said, the time to turn from it is now. Don't listen to a foolish, stupid propaganda, the power of Satan. He calls pastors some really nasty names, but don't listen to a foolish garbage. Hold on like a bulldog. Stand strong for Yahweh. Keep studying, learn what to teach, and may Yahweh bless you. With that, I'll turn it over to some of your able to say.
And now it's my honor and privilege to present to you Son of Yishlebel, Deacon Abba Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now today we're going to be talking about the craftiness of Satan and the craftiness of our deceiver to our followers. You know, many scriptures talk about how crafty Satan is and, how she can deceive. You know, like, for example, Genesis 3, it shows how Satan was able to deceive Eve, and then Satan's follower, Eve, was able to coax Adam into following her in that sin. And we can also see in these last days, Satan's follower, Pope Francis, has deceived many people and is still deceiving people to follow Satan and to follow that sin. And Satan even tried to entrap Yahshua. And trap and deceive Yahshua, into worshiping her. But we can see Yahshua's response. Let's turn over to Matthew 4. Matthew 4. And let's look at verse 1. He says, then Yahshua was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. So when the tempter came to him, and she said, if you are the Son of Yahweh, command that these stones be turned to bread. But he answered, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by the every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. Notice, he used scripture. He used the things that he studied and that he learned and knew, against Satan. Verse 5 says, Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the sacred precincts of the house of Yahweh, and said to him, "If you are the son of Yahweh, throw yourself down, for it is written, for he will give his malachim charge concerning you to keep you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands if you strike your foot against the stone." You know, so you can see there, she tried to use scripture. Now look at Yahshua's response. Yahshua said to her, "It is also written, you must not test Yahweh your father." You know, so he knew his studies. You know, he studied and he used the word of Yahweh, you know, to not be deceived. Verse 8 says, "And again the devil took him up an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the magnificence of them. And he said to him, 'I will give you all of these things if you fall down and worship me.'" You know, notice she tried to use the money, you know, the power, to try to influence Yahshua. You know, but notice what Yahshua said. Then Yahshua said to her, "Get away, Satan, for it is written, 'Yahweh your father you must reverence, and him only you must serve.'" You know, and so then verse 11 says, "Then the devil left him, and behold, Malachim came and ministered to him." You know, so you can see how Yahshua, he kept himself from being deceived. You know, he didn't allow himself to be deceived by what Satan was offering him. You know, but you can see in Genesis 3 how Satan was able to deceive Eve, you know, using that craftiness. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11, let's look at verse 3. He says, "But I fear by any means, as the Satan subtly deceived Eve with her craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted and led astray from the simplicity that is in the Messiah." You know, this is what Satan does. She tries to deceive. You know, don't let this occur to us like it occurred to Eve. You know, and Satan uses the same tricks that she used before. You know, she can use, your worldly family, your parents, you know, your siblings, you know, that's out in the world, your conscience. You know, she can use a fallaway if you're talking a fallaway. She can even use money and power. She can use the news media, you know, to try to make you think that you're not supposed to be here at the house of Yahweh. You're not supposed to be here in the work of Yahweh. In the second book of Yisrael, Going On to Perfection, number 27, verse 101, it says, "That was the message that he told Adam. He set him in the garden to guard and keep this. He said, 'Don't let it change.' Well, Adam, he wasn't deceived, but he was tempted to going out and see Grandma, to go out and see Aunt Jo, or whoever it was he was going to see. And of course, he fell into sin. Whatever sin it was, sin is sin. He should have kept his mind on the garden, guarding and keeping it instead of going out and visiting kinfolks." He says, "You need to do this, brethren. You need to buckle down and get into studying every minute you possibly can. Either study the books of Israel, the book of Yahweh, or listen to the sermons. In fact, you can listen to the sermons now in one ear if you train yourself to do that and read, you know. You can do two things at once. You can study both ways here. You can listen to the sermons on one hand and read in the other. Don't waste your time. Keep building your mind." He said, "It's going to be worth it here in a few days now. You know, time is so short. It's going to be worth it here in, you know, not too long." Praise Yahweh. He says, you're going to see all of us break loose, and we're going to receive this great gift if you're ready. If you're not ready, you're going to be left out. If you're able to be deceived, you're going to be left out. You know, and the time is so short now that Satan's going to try to use every trick in the book, you know, to try to drag you away from the house of Yahweh, try to deceive you, you know, and drag you away from Yahweh's house or from the work of Yahweh. You know, recently Satan even used History Channel to try to deceive. You know, this is all a part of Satan's craftiness, you know, and she's going to use it to the very end, but more so now than ever before, you know, because we're so close to the end. In the 10th book of Yisrael, part 1, chapter 19, verse 35, he says, well, here he's saying, "Don't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by everyone that wants to rise up against Abel in these last days. Don't be tossed about by this, by the sly of running men and cunning craftiness in which they lie in wait to deceive. Yes, there are deceivers all over the world. Satan has deceived the whole world. If they were not deceived, they would be here at the house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. He says, in the last days I'll establish my house. The prophet said, Yahweh gives you two names, or Yahweh gives you names. He gives you places. He gives you the time period when all of this is going to be established. And he says, before that, in Zechariah, there was no salvation. No salvation. Everyone was deceived for a certain amount of years after the disciples were wiped out. If you're a fool and you don't want to believe the words of the prophets, then you can go on your deception. But if you want salvation, it's offered right here. It's the only place in the Bible that you'll find it's offered. Praise Yahweh. He says, and so if you'll do what they're saying here, he gave some purposes so that you won't be carried away by every wind of doctrine. Believe in Yahshua, trust in what he said, and trust it because he's the one who was sent. Now, if you can get that in your mind, go back to Daniel now. Daniel 12:2. I hope you don't fall in that category here. And if you'll just pay attention to the words of Yahshua and do what he said. You know, that's how we're going to not be deceived. You know, pay attention to what's being taught, you know, study. In Daniel 12:2, you know, it talks about how, you know, those that are wise, you know, they'll be resurrected to everlasting life. You know, and those that were deceived, they'll be resurrected to shame and contempt. You know, so let's fall into that first category, not the second category. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, page 903. And he says, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of Yahweh, the law and the prophets deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of Yahweh. Now, mean that role model in keeping the laws of Yahweh. And this is what Satan does. She walks in craftiness. You know, she tries to trick us. You know, and like she did to Yahshua, sometimes she'll even use excerpts out of Yahweh's word to try to trick us. You know, but if we're not guarding ourselves, we'll fall for it. You know, so let's turn over to Ephesians 4:14. Ephesians 4:14, it says, we are no longer children, to be tossed to and fro about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of running men and cunning craftiness in which they wait to deceive. You know, we should be wise enough in our studies now, you know, listening to what is taught, that, you know, that we should, you know, that we won't be deceived. And this is how we won't, you know, if we're studying, if we're, you know, keeping all these things in mind. So don't let them deceive you. In the second book of Yeshua, going on to perfection, number 23, verse 59, he says, verse 3, but I fear that by any means is the serpent suddenly deceived Eve with her craftiness. So your minds, notice this is the influencing of the mind. You know, they influence the mind. They play these little tricks on you, you know, that get you to think that you shouldn't be here. May be corrupted. Corrupted with what? Think about the little things that you're doing to bring the hatred, the bad words and the words to one another. Led astray from the simplicity that is in the Messiah. Yes, the Messiah can't deal with it. Yahweh can't deal with it. And in fact, he says it cuts you off from him. You know, these things cut you off from Yahweh. You know, and Satan's going to try harder than ever to deceive you. You know, using their craftiness to try to pull you away from the house of Yahweh because the time is so short. You know, and Satan doesn't work with mankind directly. You know, she's not going to come down and talk to you. No, but she inspires mankind, you know, to deceive. She uses mankind to deceive. You know, and she's used an agency, this agency that she's used all through history, you know, that deceives. It's the same God-worshipping agency or the same God-worshipping religion that Cain started. You know, back in Genesis 10, remember Genesis 10, you know, and Cush fathered this Nimrod system. You know, Cain's religion, this Nimrod system was a force. You know, force and murder and tyranny. You know, it was called the Pharisees and Sadducees, Essenes and Herodians back then. And now it's called the Coptic Catholic religion. You know, remember, Coptic means Egyptian, being like the Egyptian gods. You know, it's his way of Cain, yielding to Satan, being like the gods. If you remember 1 Samuel 7, you know, remember the Easter goddess. You know, this money-making scheme of, you know, the holidays. You get pulled into that. And, you know, then you want to go visit your kinfolks. They pull you into more of it. You know, this all starts with that little bit of deception, you know, that we allow ourselves to be pulled into this sin. You know, so don't allow ourselves to be pulled into it. The Apostle Shaul gave us some advice in Ephesians. Ephesians 6, let's look at verse 11. It says, "Put on the whole armor of Yahweh, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, crafty ways, schemes of the devil. For we not only wrestle against flesh and blood, but also against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness which is in the world, against spiritual forces of the evil one in the heavens." You know, remember, darkness is sin. You know, the law is light and darkness is sin. It says in verse 13, "Therefore take on the whole armor of Yahweh, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having overcome all, to stand. Therefore, having your waist belted with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the message of peace, and above all, taking on the shield of the faith, which you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the evil one, the influences. And take on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yahweh, the law and the prophets." You know, the book of Yahweh. "Pray always with entreaty and supplication in the Spirit. And to this, and keep watch with all perseverance, always interceding for all of the saints." You know, so let's put on these things. Let's keep on our studies. You know, that way we're not able to be deceived. You know, the end is closer than ever before. So the old saying goes, "Don't be deceived, only believe all the prophets have spoken." You know, we're a fool if we don't believe what the prophets have spoken. You know, so let's keep on studying. You know, keep paying attention to what, you know, is brought out here. And come to the classes, and, you know, that way we won't be able to be deceived. If y'all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker, Kainoya.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. You know, going along with what's been coming out in many of the numbers and the things we're seeing in the signs of the heavens and all of the things that Yahweh is showing us, Yahshua, our high priest, is showing us, we're seeing many very interesting things and things that many people would call them coincidences, but they just don't seem to work out that way when discussing or talking about the plan of Yahweh. And today we want to go back and look at something that we looked at before. We recognize that there were many mistakes, I guess is one way you could say it. And that is the lives and deaths of Vernon George Hawkins and Maggie Mae Hawkins. Pastor's brother, the one that named him from the womb, that was Vernon, at not quite 2 years old, he did that. And then you have, of course, Maggie Mae, that's Pastor's mother, and then William Otis, which is Pastor's father. There's some very interesting things when we started to look into it. And what started this was a great Kahan noticed that when he was looking at the headstone that's down at the exhibit, which, by the way, that was the original headstone that was placed on Maggie Mae's grave. But we noticed when we started looking into it, the dates were wrong. And her actually year she was born was not 1904, but that's what was on her headstone. It was 1906. And her date of birth, of course, was July 7th, which was 7-7. That's also the same day Pastor had the dream about the gold flakes. And her date of death was February the 20th of 1956. And, of course, that was 2-20. That was the day Pastor was released from jail. So that became very interesting. And we started to go back and look at her death certificate, which, if you remember, had many, many, many discrepancies. And just to kind of give a few, but one thing that we'll see in this is how much it ties back into not only Pastor, not only into Vernon, but also into Jacob, the other witness. And it's very self-explanatory when we look at it. This right here is Maggie Mae's death certificate. And of course, it was issued in 1957. The first thing I want you to notice is where it says date of birth. You see the date? August 28th. Whose date of birth is that? That's Pastor. That's Israel Hawkins. Her date of birth was July 7th of 1906. So once right there, we have Pastor. Somehow he got into here in 1956. Another very interesting note here at the bottom, and this can be made available so anyone can have it and read. If you notice at the bottom, it says, I hereby certify that I attended. This is the doctor signing off on the death certificate. I hereby certify that I attended the deceased from February 19th, 1957 to February 20th, 1957. I last saw the deceased alive on February 20th, 1957. Date of death, February 20th, and that's 1956. I know you can barely see it, but that is a 6. She died 1956. And in the original copy, you can see it's 1956. That's also what is on her headstone. It's very interesting, the difference between 57 and 56. One of the first things we notice, if you notice right here, we have numbers. If you use Pastor's date of birth, August 28th, and the year she was born, well, it's very strange, and why would they do that? Why would they tie these things together? And is it a coincidence, and why so? Well, these are a few things, and this is just putting numbers together. This is simple math, okay? So if we take 49 plus 5 plus 23, which, remember, that was 49 years, which is 7 times 7, 77, 5 months, 23 days, what do you think that totals? You're right, 77. Now, I'm sure that's total coincidence. But continuing, some other things that are found on her death certificate. And one thing I want to remind you before we leave off of 77, remember Pastor was born at the ends of the earth. When they crossed across that that Canadian River, this right here would be Purcell. Let me zoom out a little bit. This would be Purcell, Oklahoma. This is the Canadian River. This right here is that bridge that they crossed when Pastor was born. Pastor was born right here, right on the edge of that. You see this road branches out, goes this way, and then goes this way, but he was born right here. They didn't quite make it to that fork in the road. This right here goes to downtown Lexington, which is a whopping 2 blocks. You know, it's huge. You should see it. And this, of course, goes off that way. Well, one of the interesting points, we'll see if we can zoom in enough so you can see it. Pastor, that highway is, of course, Highway 77. But the highway stops right there. And, of course, he was born on the ends of the earth. Of course, he had the unassigned lands right there where that dot was at. That would be around the proximity where he was born. And, of course, that all tied in with the land run of 1889. Now, that's with 1977. Now, of course, when Pastor, or the land run of 1889, when Pastor's mother died, now, of course, everyone's familiar with hearing his stories about his mother and how dear she was to him. And you can hear that through what he says and how he speaks. And really, if you didn't know better, you'd never know that the woman passed away in 1956. That's been a long time. But to hear the meaning that this woman plays in his life is very strong. And there's some very interesting things that we see. On Maggie's death certificate, you see at the very top, you have 5721. 5721. Well, the number 57 in Hebrew means Abel. It means Abel, laminating, and mourning. Mourning. 57 means Abel. Does anyone want to guess how old Pastor was when his mother died? He was 21 years old. That's how old he was when she died. Another interesting note, when you look to this part of the death certificate. Now, all these are things that are added in by those who keep the records. They're added in by those who keep the records. You have the number 252, 10 and 2. So 252, 10 and 2. You get too many papers up here. Number 252 in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, and I got it in one of these papers. We'll use my notes. Here we go. You have to see all the scribble that goes with it here. 252 in the Strong's Exhaustive, or the Brown, Driver, and Briggs, it's also in Strong's, means brother. 252 means brother, and that's what we see right here. When Pastor was born, of course, his brother J.G. was born in 1924. He was in his 10th year of age. When Pastor was born, Vernon was in his second year of age. He had almost completed his second year. You have the word brother. J.G. was getting ready to become 10. Vernon was getting ready to become 2. You add 252 plus 10 plus 2, that's 264. That means brotherhood or brothers in the Hebrew Strong's. It also means in the BDB, Brown, Driver, and Briggs, it means brotherhood. So once again, showing, and that was very interesting in itself, that it would lay out that way. But then we have the discrepancies of, well, she was 49 when she died. It says 1956. The doctor says 1957. And the relevance that comes behind that, and don't forget about Jacob and Vernon, because there's something that ties into their date of birth also that's very important. And also Otis's, William Otis's date of death. That is very important. Never bring a bunch of papers to a podium with you. You're laughing back here. Okay. So going off 1956 and 1957, this is what we want to look at. Remember, 56 and 57 mean Abel. They both mean Abel. They both tie together as Abel, and they mean Abel. In 1956, which was the year Maggie died, that word comes from 3498. Word 3498 means to be left over, remain. Now remember, you have Pastor tied into this. When Maggie died, Pastor was left over. And keep in mind what this woman went through in her life. By the time she died at the age of 49, she had already lost two children. She lost one in 1929 to a fever that was going through that was no cure for. The young child died at 3 years old. And she had just lost Vernon 7 months before this. Vernon was killed in a car accident where he was literally thrown from the car. And he died a very tragic death. And that was on a Memorial Day weekend of 1955. So this woman had gone through a lot of trauma in her life. This woman had experienced many things in 49 years. But even in her death, it says that there would be something remain over, leave a remnant to save over, preserve alive, to excel, to show excess, have more than enough, and have access. Well, in these things, if you remember, Revelations 12:6 says that a woman would flee to the wilderness. She would flee to the wilderness, and there she would nurture for 1,260 days. Flee to the wilderness and nurture for 1,260 days. Remember how Pastor ties back into Maggie May, actually tying back into being on the top of the certificate, and actually we'll get into it a little bit more. He actually ties into it in more than you can imagine. When you get to 1957, now this is what the doctor wrote on the death certificate. Why he wrote that, no one has any idea. But he also wrote on the death certificate, which is important, right here, it's actually May 6th, 1957. May 6th, which is 5-6. What is 56? Abel. That's right. 56 is Abel. Well, look at 1957, which really has no rhyme or reason to be on this death certificate. 1957 compared to 2372. Well, 1957 means to dream or sleep. 2372 means to gaze at, mentally, to perceive, to contemplate with pleasure. specifically to have a vision of, behold, look, prophesy, provide. Remember his dream he had of snowflakes. These snowflakes, these, you hear in the world they say you need to be a perfect 10. All Yahweh is saying you need to be is a perfect 7. You need to come to completion. Well, this is what Pastor's seen in that dream. He's seen many things take place with this vision of gold on 7-7 as the snowflakes fell. And of course, it represented all of these people. There's a remnant left over from a woman. And remember, on the ends of the earth, when Pastor was born in August 28th of 1934, that was the work of Yahweh actually beginning. That was the one sent, birth was given to him, and it began at that point. And it began to move forward from that point, because even in the birth of this man, there was a child, of course, 2 years of age, that would give utterance to his name. If you remember, in Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 3, it talks about how he would be named from the bowels of his mother. From the bowels of his mother's womb would he be named. And, of course, that glory, Yahweh says that he would be glorified through this man. Through this man and this brother, this not quite two-year-old brother, would actually be the one who named him, which is Vernon. Here we go. Vernon was born October 20th of 1932. That's a fact. We went through a lot of trouble having to prove that to the state of Texas to have his headstone changed from 1930 to 1932. And of course, we were able to do so because we were able to prove his actual date of birth. Now, Pastor was born, of course, August the 28th of 1934. That's 441 days apart. Interesting that 441 comes from number 502, and it means to learn. To causatively, to teach, to learn, to teach, to utter. Now remember, when this woman fled to the wilderness, Oklahoma became a wilderness in 1930s because of this dust bowl, which we're going to hit a little bit before, we're going to cover that a little bit before we move out of this. This dust bowl made this land become a wilderness. People were leaving Oklahoma. They were going to California. The heat, the dust, the lack of rain, it had destroyed the land. It was consuming the land in those days. Well, of course, there was teaching going on because there was a young man who was coming there who was born. Remember when they crossed that bridge in Chickasha? They crossed that bridge in Chickasha and Maggie Mae went into labor pains, but they subsided. One interesting point, remember, World War II was going on around that time. When you go across the bridge in Chickasha, Oklahoma, and you go to the right-hand side, now, that's the fairgrounds. Back then, it was a prison camp for German soldiers. That's where they were holding the German soldiers. Well, remember, those labor pains subsided. They proceeded on into Purcell and then went across the bridge into Lexington. And there, of course, she went into labor. And that's where Pastor was born, on the right side there. And that also is where his name was uttered. And that's where Maggie Mae began to teach, to instruct, to raise up, to rear this child, to bring him. Now, I want to show you very quickly about this Dust Bowl. We have a book here, and this is called The Dust Bowl Through the Lens. And it's very interesting, the facts that are tied in to the Dust Bowl. I want you to notice this one part right here. And this book is available for anyone that wants to see it. And this section right here, it says, from 1931 to 1937, it stopped raining, creating a drought through the Great Plains that has never been equaled. With much of the topsoil having been pulverized by overplowing and much of the native grass that held the dirt in place having been destroyed by overgrazing, the soil was already in bad shape. So that's what led to this blowing of dust, the breaking up of the land, no grass to hold it down, and then the wind blowing. But notice it said the record drought was accompanied by record heat, further drying out the land. During one stretch, notice in 1934, temperatures exceeded 100 degrees Fahrenheit for 40 consecutive days, reaching as high as 118 degrees. Hundreds of people and livestock, of course, died from the heat. So this is what people were fleeing from as Pastor and his family was going to there. him being in the womb, it's not like he could have kicked and screamed and not joined along, right? He had to go. He didn't have much of a choice. Well, in going there and in making his journey there, I want to count, and I want to do this for everybody to see it because I don't want you to miss it. In counting off what we just read about the Dust Bowl, of course, we have it started. They showed that this drought started in 1931 and it went into 1937. 1938, it started to dissipate with some rain, but it didn't completely go away. But it did start to dissipate with some rain. Now, in 1938 and into 1939, that's when they said recovery started beginning, and by the 1940s, they were able to do some stuff to the land. But notice, in 1931, that would have been the first year. 32, the second, 33, the third, 34, the fourth, 35, and this is the end of the year. December 1934 would have been the fourth, of course, 35, the fifth, 36, the sixth, and 37 would be the seventh. So if you notice, by the time you get to 1934, that's about 3.5 years when you get to pastor's date of birth, right? Somewhere around in there. But if you were to go off and count from January 1st of 1931, which is when they actually start recording, that being the worst time, and you were to take those days all the way to pastor's date of birth, of course, you come up with 1,335 days. And Daniel 12:12 says, blessed are those who wait to 1,335 days. Blessed are those. Blessed is this whole world that waits to 1,335 days. Now, in this death of Maggie Mae, we see this where she, of course, the discrepancies that took place on her certificate, and of course, two brothers that were tied in the certificate. Of course, the first one we read, 10, that 252 meaning brother, and then 10, we have, of course, JG or Jacob. Now, Jacob was born September the 11th of 1924. If you look up 9/11, it's from 909, and it means separation. It means separation. In the book of the two witnesses, and of course it's right here, on page 189, Pastor wrote this many years ago after the death of Jacob, and it says, in 1975, Jacob returned to the States. His first stop before going to Odessa was Abilene. Before going to Odessa, Texas, was my home in Abilene, the homestead, where he remained overnight, at which point I discussed the progress the work of Yahweh with him and offered land that I had already purchased in order to build the sanctuary for the house of Yahweh. However, our separation was foretold. They would separate. They would not work together. In fact, they didn't come back to do work together again until they signed the trademark of the house of Yahweh to each other to combat someone suing for the name House of Yahweh. But notice, this separation was foretold. In 9/11, Jacob's birth actually meaning separation or alone. The day he was born, or the day he died, excuse me, the day he died, is 3/22. It was March 22nd of 1991 is when he died. Notice it means backwards. And Jacob did. He went back into the traditions. And this is not to put Jacob down in any way. We have a menorah that right here, and he is the sixth lamp of that lampstand. He represents a work of Yahweh. So in no way is this to degrade, but to show what Isaiah said in Isaiah 43:28, that he would be given into the curse. He would die. And of course, he held on to these traditions. But 322 from 268 means backwards. And 268 comes from 299, which means to hinder part, hence, behind, backwards, time to come without. And 299 goes right back to the word brother, but it means brother of wrong, of a wrong choice, of doing the wrong thing, of not making the right decision. Now, there's much more to bring in that in itself, but we want to get to one more thing before we stop that is very interesting, before we hand it over to the next speaker, because this is very encouraging. You would never guess that you would have dates given where people died that would tie in to future priests' birth. And you would never guess that a message is sent through that. Vernon died, of course. He died the last week, Memorial Day. And keep in mind, when Pastor says don't go out and drive around, don't go out and be fooling around, well, Vernon had went out with two of his friends. One was a brother-in-law, one was a young man. The young man's buried over here, actually, in Clyde Cemetery. He died just a few days after. He was killed in the car crash also, but not immediate like Vernon was. Well, 45 years later, on March 31st, there was a young future priest born. March 31st of 2000. Those 45, you look at the word 45, and it comes from word number one. It means father of strength. It also means valiant, possessing or showing courage and determination. Now, that is something that we're not saying is just instilled into this one young man, but it's a representation of what Yahweh wants instilled in all young men, all young women. Because remember, Pastor had a dream. One was gold flakes. One was of a 24-hour school where our children would be trained. It's an investment that Yahshua said that once you make that investment, don't take it and hide it, but you take it and you multiply it. William Otis died September the 6th of 1974. September 6th of 1974. 27 years to the day, two future priests were born. On that one day, September 6th, 2001. Of course, 27 years, the number 27 means my father is judge. And of course, Yisrael Hawkins is judge. Quickly, turn over to Micaiah. Turn over to Micaiah. Chapter 4. And this is a very familiar scripture. But remember, Micaiah chapter 4, it says, in verse 1, it says, "But in the last days it will come to pass that the mountain promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief nation. It will be raised above all congregations, and all people will eventually flow to it. And many nations will say, 'Come and let us go up to that mountain, to the house of Yahweh, to the house of the father of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways.'" Notice we're coming to learn to do something, to learn Yahweh's ways, "and we will walk in his paths." So we're going to make an agreement to do exactly what we're told to do, because the law will depart from Zion and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. "And he will judge between many people and rebuke strong nations afar off." Yes, he will judge. Remember, write this down in your notes to go back and read about even Moshe when he sat in the seat of judgment. And how Yahweh said, "Moshe, it's too much for you to judge all matters. Assign some people. Get some people who will follow, who are diligent, who do what they're asked to do. Get those people. Have them assist you. But if there becomes a situation too difficult for them to answer or to judge, let it be brought to you." Why? Because Moshe was the head of head judges, the top of top judges. Just like Yisrael Hawkins in these last days is the head judge of the house of Yahweh. And that's above all others, above all priests, all kahans, all judges, head judges. He is our head. And by the way, my father's a judge too. Did you know that? Because this dream, I want to tell you something about these three young boys that are mentioned. It's not that others aren't mentioned, because there's much more to this that we can get to and cover later. Pastor's dream of having a 24-hour school, it's never really come to pass yet. It hasn't yet. There's two things that is needed and is a must to have this school. One, you have to have students for 24 hours a day. Two, you have to have teachers. You can't look at the students and say, "Why aren't you coming?" without looking at the teachers and say, "Where are you at?" The three that are mentioned are three boys that gave their life to being at the school as close as anybody to 24 hours a day. That says a lot. That says a lot about where we need to go and what we need to do. There's much more to deal with Maggie Mae, and it feels odd calling her Maggie instead of Miss Hawkins. But keep in mind the things that are shown and the things that are said and the 7 years of the Dust Bowl and who was born in the midst of that Dust Bowl and this woman that fled to the wilderness, because there's a story to be told, and if we bind ourselves to that and we tie ourselves to the one sent, there's no way we can miss out on this kingdom. But if we go any other way, then we'll miss out on everything. At this time, if everyone would please stand, I'd like to turn it over to the great Gahan Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Got a lot to cover this morning. Okay. Oh, picking up where the great Gahan left off, he was talking about Pastor's mother. I'm going to switch gears just a little bit, but it all ties in together, and you'll see how. But I'm going to talk to you today about this comet, these two comets. Remember, Pastor mentioned last Sabbath on March 319 about these two comets to cut it close to Earth's orbit, it says. That's they put a picture here of these green. You can see these green comets. Okay, there's two comets, and we'll talk about those and the significance of them. One of them appeared on March 21st, and the other one on March 22nd. That was their closest approach, actually. I mean, they can still be seen, but that was their closest approach to the Earth. And by the way, does anybody know? Meryl, remember Hale-Bopp, right? Back in 1997, the great comet of 1997, this is from NASA, and it shows you that closest approach to the Earth was March 22nd, 1997, exactly 19 years ago. Remember that number 19 and what it represents? A lot was done on that particular number. Now, I want you to remember what Yahweh says about 2016. Yahweh says that 2016, this is in the Greek, by the way, and there's more. I'm just going to cover a little bit today, but it means manifest, glorious, illustrious. Illustrious, okay? Now, that's probably not going to mean much unless you know what that word means, and I'm going to show you right here. And I want you to write a couple of write as many as you can down, but I'll just kind of go through some of them. Illustrious means well-known, respected, and admired for past achievements. Some of the synonyms is eminent, distinguished, notable, noteworthy, prominent, preeminent, foremost, leading, important, influential, renowned, famous, famed, well-known, celebrated, legendary, esteemed, honored, respected, venerable, august, highly regarded, well thought of, brilliant, and glorious. That's the word illustrious. And you heard the word august too, right? Well, let's look at this word august. It's from dictionary.com. It means distinguished. It means respected and impressive. That's what the word august means, okay? Means distinguished, eminent, venerable, celebrated, great, inspiring, dignified, so on and so forth. If y'all remember, a great Kohan told you one time that 828, you remember Pastor's birthday? And remember what was on Maggie Mae's death certificate? That was no accident that was written there. Let me show you why. 828 in the Hebrew, first of all, means Augustus, and it means August. August, 828 in the Greek, strong. In the Hebrew, it means I will make prominent the sprinkled. I will make prominent the sprinkled. 828. Now, could this be some kind of accident? Illustrious. It also means, 2016, by the way, also means conspicuously appear, become visible, especially in a splendid, transforming way. And it's from 2014, and I'll show you this definition real quick. It means to appear, to shine upon, to appear to achieve the fitting purpose. To appear to achieve the fitting purpose. It also means to show to or upon, to bring to light, become visible, to become clearly known. House of Yahweh, make no mistake about it. Yahweh is going to make so clear who Yisro Hawkins in this house of Yahweh is and who Yahweh is working with. He already is. And once you see this, Yahweh has this so well mapped out. You are going to marvel. Okay, now, these two comets that came this past week, this is from NASA, by the way, and it talks about that they're twins of a sort, these two comets. They're called Comet P2016 BA14. That was actually the second one that appeared on 322. And then on 321, you had Comet 252P/Linear. Okay? It says that they'd fly by, Comet 252P would fly by on March 21st at a range of about 3.3 million miles. The following day, P2016 BA14 will safely fly by our planet at a distance of about 2.2 million miles. It says the closest comets, this will be the third closest flyby of a comet in recorded history. Next to Comet D1770L1 Lexel, you know, that Lex ought to ring a bell. You know, Lex means law. And Lexington and Purcell, remember Pastor's Birth? Keep all these things in mind. I can't cover them all today like the great Kahan said. There's so much to this. But and Comet C1983, which was in 1983. And now it was called IRAS, Iraqi Al-Kak, in 1983. That was 33 years ago. The one in 1770 was 246 years ago. I don't want to get too bogged down with the numbers, but you're going to get a lot of them, so stay tuned. Okay, now the comet, just so you know, a comet is an icy, small solar system body that when passing close to the sun, heats up and begins to outgas, displaying a visible atmosphere or coma, and sometimes also a tail. These phenomena are due to the effects of solar radiation and the solar wind upon the nucleus of the comet. Okay? And here's a picture of some of these. In fact, I think they just landed a spacecraft on a comet not long ago. They actually were able to catch one. I know Pastor said I caught one coming up from Laredo one time. There must be something he knows about that. I'm still trying to figure that one out. But it was something about a busted tooth or something from the dust from the comet. By the way, I did get to see that comet yesterday when I was cleaning. And it actually did have the emerald green. By the way, Comet Cleanser came out in 1956. For your notes. No, I'm just joking. I use lie. Okay. So, continuing on here. Comet Hale-Bopp, you know, that was the last comet that we can all remember. Y'all remember this comet. It was in 1997. They called it the Great Comet of 97. It was discovered in 95. And it says it was probably the most widely observed comet of the 20th century. And y'all remember, it's been brought out before, but I want to remind you also that during that time period, there was news that there was an accompanying craft. There was it called it the Hale-Bopp Enigma, that there was something actually traveling along with it. Okay, and the scientists were all, you know, baffled over this, and there was a big controversy. In fact, here's one of the articles. Scientists argue about Hale-Bopp Companion. They couldn't figure out, like, what is that next to this comet? What is this? What kind of thing is this? Well, we know what it was, okay? Because hail, the meaning of the word hail means to drag, especially by force, and it means to haul, like to hail into a court. Now, I want you to think of Satan being cast down, the court decision, okay, that was made. And it means people hailed into court normally to go. People that are hailed into court normally don't go gladly, okay? They're not expecting a warm reception, all right? So they don't go. They don't go gladly. That's the etymology of hail. And Bop just really tells on her, because the Bop meaning means leader, bright, famous. Famous leader, messenger. Remember, Satan's job was to teach the laws of Yahweh. She was a messenger. Remember, bright meaning Lucifer. Remember, Lucifer in Isaiah 14. So that was when Satan was cast down in 1997, if you remember. Now, this first comet was seen on 321. 321. This past week, and it means to lead up, to bring up. If y'all remember, actually the Lead Laredo event took place on 3/21/2013, and we went over this definition before, but it means to lead up, to bring up, or to offer, as the last Abel is offering us as a sacrifice to Yahweh, an acceptable sacrifice. And if you, in case you don't know what acceptable means, it means 7613. 7613 in Genesis 4, verse 7, means accepted or acceptable. So we all want to become 7613, do we not? Okay? That's why we wear that banner, or we call that the sash that said 7613 on it. And it means to launch, lead, or loose. Okay? That's 321. In the Hebrew, it means another. It means another or someone else. And it's from a car. That's 311. And it means future. Future or after. Now, y'all remember what Daniel said. Let's turn over to Daniel 12 real quick. Daniel 12. Daniel 12. Think future. Daniel 12, page 684. We're going to look at verse 5. It says, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two others, two brothers, Yisrael and Jacob, one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on the other side of the bank of the river." Verse 6, "And one said to the man clothed in linen." Now this they saw the two brothers. He saw the two brothers, but then he talked to the last brother, the one that was remaining. "And he said to the man clothed in linen," whom Israel Hawkins is, fully clothed in linen, "who on that future day is teaching, how long will it be to the end of these wonders?" Okay, so that those the future day, okay, this one in the future, this one that follows after, okay, the one that follows after or besides, okay, the one following that sixth work. Remember who... Jacob, the witness Jacob, represented the sixth work. Just so to get a better idea of this, this is Chagia, or 2 verse 9, and it talks about the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former. Well, that latter is 3:14, okay, in Hebrew, and here's what it means. 3:14 means last, afterwards, come later, end, future, last one, the last witness, the last ones, the remnant, the last time, western, west. Okay, western, west. It's not talking about John Wayne He's talking about the witness in the West. Now, the second one was on 322, the second comet. And it means it's from 268. It means back part. And it's from 268, and it means the West, or time to come. Remember the latter house, okay? That the one that the last one that's to come. Also means a hereafter of time, and it goes to 299, which the great Kohan just got done showing you, and I'm not going to be going into that because that's not my part of the sermon. 322 in, now here's 322 in the Greek. Now this is very interesting. 322. Now think of 2016 when you read this. It means to exhibit, to indicate, to appoint, to show, to proclaim anyone as elected to office, to announce as appointed a king or general, etc. To lift up anything on high and exhibit it for all to behold. Remember, the world is going to see the rising of the house of Yahweh. You remember the scriptures in Isaiah, right? They're going to see this. It's going to be very clear. They're going to be made prominent. Now, it's from 1166, and it means to show, expose to the eyes, metaphorically, give evidence or proof of a thing, to show by words or teach. To show by words or teach. Now here's another, this is another part of 322 that I brought. It means to lift up anything on high and exhibit it for all to behold. To show accurately, clearly, to disclose what was hidden. To show which of these two he has chosen. Is it Pope Francis? Or is it Israel Hawkins? To proclaim anyone as elected to an office. To announce as appointed king, general, messenger, etc. Now, I don't know if you know this, but comets have always been throughout history harbingers of a couple things. Change of government. They've also been harbingers of doom, showing war and famine and things that are coming. But they are a harbinger of change, that there's going to be a change, okay? By the way, 323, on 323, the next day, I hope you can see this. But if you can see that donkey right there, and you see that individual, looks like he has like a Mexican type hat on. It's like a farmer type guy. And right in front of that is a trumpet. A big trumpet. A big fat trumpet. What could this mean? Lifting the donkeys up? Who's going to lift the donkeys up for the whole world to hear? Here's a closer picture, in case you couldn't see it. Let me zoom out a little bit. Can y'all see that? This was taken on 323, okay, just the other day, over the grounds here. Now, 323, oddly enough, means the same thing as 322 because it's from 322. It means the proclamation of an appointment. The proclamation of an appointment to an office. A showing forth a public appearance. By the way, maybe I better not say that just right yet. Hold on. Okay. All right. Right here it says, it gives an example in Luke 1:80, until the day when he was announced of his showing to the people as the forerunner of the Messiah, this announcement he himself made at the command of Yahweh. And it means exhibition or showing. And then 322, remember, I think I've already shown, it means to show forth, to clearly to proclaim a person elected to an office. The picture time see if I have that on here. Yeah, here it is. The picture time was 4:57. Where's it at? Y'all see it? Where's this at? 1:34. Okay, I think we got the wrong, there's the wrong date on it too. Let me see. Pays to check your work, but 3:23, it was actually 4:57 p.m. that I apparently got the wrong snapshot of the wrong picture on the phone, but it was at 4:57, and I want you to notice what 4:57 means. It means an opening. An opening. Do y'all remember just a few weeks ago something about an opening, that the high priest was going to open something up? Y'all remember that? In the Hebrew, it meant an opening. Pastor saw that the thing with the Liberia on 3:6:16. Remember, it meant to open, an opening, and that the high priest was going to open something up? Well, this means opening, but this is in the Greek. And it means utterance, the opening of the mouth. In other words, a door will be opened, a great door will be opened for the utterance of this message to get to these people that will be gathered. Remember this gathering that's been taking place now that was spoken of in Genesis 49. Remember that number 49 in the gathering, okay? And it's from 4:55, and it means I open, break, broke, open, opened, opening, opens, spoken freely. 3:23. Does that ring a bell to anybody? Well, the August calendar, August again, remember what August means, highly respected. There's a bus, a green bus of all colors, right? With the number 3:23 on the back. Okay? Could that be a coincidence? By the way, does anybody know how old Pastor will be on August 28th? What was that? 83. What could that mean? I think 83 meant something about wings of eagles. Look it up. I don't have time today to go over it. Wings of eagles. And you know, there's a highway. Remember Yahweh said he would make a highway? Remember that Mexican-looking guy, that Central American-looking guy lifting the donkeys up? Well, you know, Yahweh said he would make a highway, and we do have a Highway 83 running right through here, right? I'm not going to go into that today. I'm just going to leave you hanging, okay? But I want you to know that 83 means wings of eagles, okay? Wings of eagles. What eagle could that be? I think the great Kahan told us a couple weeks ago who that eagle was, right? Okay, well, let me continue here. I don't want to run out of time. 2:52, I meant 2:50. Oh, it was from, 30. Okay. P252, the comet, remember? The great Kahan just showed you 2:52 meant brother. Right? He went through that. He went through all those definitions. But it also means, and it means brother of the same parents. And 252 in the Greek, by the way, means salt. Salt. Hey, by the way, just going to clue you in. 83 runs right into Luke 3:22. Luke 3:22 here in Abilene. You know about Luke 3:22, right? Wow, that must be a coincidence that we have a Luke 3:22 with a buffalo there. Welcome to Abilene, the highway. It means salt. This all just got to be a coincidence. I just can't. Better not go there. Let me see where I can go here. By the way, on that highway coming up, when I get up right off 83 to come here, here's what you see. Those eagles. I don't know, maybe we'll duct tape those things and use them, you know? I remember when I was living in Alaska, the 49th state, when we would fly on a little Cessna plane or, you know, one of those little planes that go from village to village, the pilot would throw us a roll of duct tape and say, hey, can you shut that door in the back? So I know a little bit about duct taping planes, okay? So maybe we just need a pilot's license. Anybody here know how to fly? Well, you will know how to fly. You won't need one here pretty soon. You won't be flying this, okay? Yahweh shows that you're going to be lifted up greatly, this great house. Now, 252 linear, 215 in the gematria, 215 means unutterable. It baffles the words. It's unexpressible. Too deep for words. Okay? 215 in the Hebrew means to become, to be or become light. To be or become light. I'm not going to be able to get into all these definitions. But I do want to show you one more. Because I will get back to this, okay? There's not enough. I told you there's not enough time in one setting to go through this, but I do want you to pay attention to this one here in that word linear 59, because that means, again, it means able, but it means more than that. It means more than that. It also means a square. A gathering place. A square. Y'all remember Times Square? Where Pastor's Face is? I'm not going to go into it all today because I can't. But I want you to be keeping these things in mind, because Yahweh has this whole thing mapped out where there will be no doubt in anyone's mind who Yahweh is working with in these last days. There will be no doubt whatsoever. Once you see how beautifully this is laid out. By the way, there's another highway. 83 goes from the north to the south and completely covers the country from north to south. And it runs right through Abilene and ends in Laredo, Texas. And then it picks up in Mexico and goes all the way to Central America and even further. Highway 85, it's called. Is the other highway. And it means able. It's the fifth longest highway. We'll get into that next time. Hopefully. There'll be other, probably more mind-blowing events before then, and I won't get to it or something. But I do want to show you something, because tomorrow is what the world calls Easter Sunday, right? Y'all remember the nebula? Y'all remember the nebula, the Horsehead Nebula? Well, recently a wider range picture came out of this thing. Notice this. See the bulldog? Well, we didn't know what the bulldog was doing when we first saw him, but now we know. You see Santa Claus? See his hat? And you see right here, the Easter Bunny. You see that bunny? Hey, it looks like that bulldog's telling him, get out of here and don't come back ever again. Can you, before I leave... Could you play the video? Play the video, please. I want you to remember the words of the great son of Israel, Abel Yeshurun. That's you, House of Yahweh. We're going to chase that old Santa Claus, that old Saint Nick, the old 666 right on out of here, right? Praise Yahweh. Well, may Yahweh bless you. It's been a joy to speak to you. I hope to be able to continue this very soon. And I'd like to turn it over now to the great Kohan Ilya Tyler Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Of course, in all the things we see with the plans coming to pass, as Yahshua said in Matthew 24, this would be the greatest time of trouble ever. And in today's news, we're not just seeing alarming rates of drug overdoses taking place, of course, nationwide. You see the numbers up and they're making comments on the world news about it. But now you have certain counties, certain states that are coming up and saying that, listen, we've got huge problems in our communities. Now, of course, this is all coming from the push of drugs, this drug addiction, this drug abuse that is going into our society. Now, one of the things they relate it to is this Toxoplasma gondii, which, of course, we put out in the prophetic words many times, went over many times, and it's bacteria that's found in the feces of cats. And they're saying now that this is being linked to tens of millions of cases of mental illness. Now, why not just teach how to properly deal with a cat? Well, 20% of Americans are on drugs, right? One out of every five is taking a pill for mental illness. There's a lot of money made in this. Why not do something different? Well, it's all because this love of money. They're saying that this feces is also leading to schizophrenia, depression, suicide, impulsiveness. But they're also saying, of course, there's more articles coming out saying that this rage by adults can be linked to parasites in the brain, uncontrollable rage. It's due to what's been allowed in the body. And then we look at Brussels. Of course, Brussels, Belgium, it's kind of the unsaid capital of Europe for the EU, but it's also headquartered for NATO. That's where NATO has their headquarters. And of course, there this week they had multiple bombings. A lot of people die. Americans dying that just got off the plane and was going to collect baggage. They died, only been there a few minutes, and were caught up in a bombing. And of course, this is devastating to all of those who see it. And I want you to notice Federica Mogherini. Now, of course, she's the EU spokesman. She's the one brokering all these deals you see with treaties about the missile programs. And, of course, she's dealing with the quartet as far as Palestine and Israel. She's trying to build all of these agreements and to get all of these things done. Well, she currently resides in that area of Belgium in Brussels. And she breaks down to the point of knowing what's taking place that's beyond her control. She can't stop it. No matter how many agreements she signs, no matter how many people the Catholic Church try to grasp around the neck, they're not going to stop what we see. And it's important that everyone here understands and everyone overseas understands. If the House of Yahweh was not in Abilene, Texas, you would see bombings all around you here in the United States of America. The only reason we're not seeing it here is because the House of Yahweh was established in the chief nations and the protection of Yahweh. Don't take these things for granted in any which way, shape, or form, but watch what she does to the point she breaks down. And Yahweh willing, hopefully she's humbling herself to see there's only one way, and maybe she will turn and learn war no more. If we could go ahead and play the news. This time, if everyone would please stand, I'd like to introduce Yahweh's anointed seventh Malach and the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohen Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. We got a big crowd today. Praise Yahweh. Let's go, boy. Praise Yahweh. Wonderful. You may be seated. May the peace and joy of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The sermons there, I know it's hard to absorb all these numbers, but you can do it. It's like telephone numbers. You can get them in your mind, what they mean. Kohen Ilya will be back real soon to continue on. If you want to work on that number 21 was, I was 21 when Mother died. It's so interesting because the
At number 21 means Hezekiah's mother. Mother. Not Hezekiah, but his mother. It's very important what a mother can do with children if she keeps her vows and stands up to what she vowed with the children and always upholds it. If two can't walk together, if they're not agreed, they can't walk together. And, of course, that's where kingdoms are split. Hezekiah was the one that actually rebuilt the temple due to his mother's training. He was a king in Israel. Y'all know that, though. I know you know that. We're rebuilding it now. The house of Yahweh. If you remember, it got run down, got polluted, got God worshipers started coming in, putting their Easter trinkets in every corner. But he took care of that, got all of it out of there. Of course, this time, it's going to stay out, you know. It never will be polluted again. And those chosen for the new world where righteousness dwells, you know, they're the ones that's going to be forever, and you're going to be guarding it. You have the greatest opportunity of anyone that's ever been called in the 6,000-year period. You're the finishing touch of this plan. The numbers are very impressive, the way the newspapers are going after our articles that are written. This one about your why aren't your prayers answered, and I went to extremes to show how the world is worshiping gods and they have no power. Yahweh is the only being in the universe that has power, and his ability, as you could see, to line these things up with the numbers as he has, and paint you, he gives you a perfect scenario in numbers here, and shows that he's the one that's in control of this and got it all laid out in advance. He did this before he created the earth. Yes, he had this plan all lined out, and each of you lined out to be part of that plan. That's what you're here for. That's the reason you're here. 120,925 already on that news media is running this thing, and each one of those news medias have thousands of subscribers. There's one of them here shows an audience of 1 million. Another one has 1,091,000. Another one has 1,469,000. Another one has 2,351,000, and that's just four of hundreds. So you can see that the people that this is going out to, that's going out to a number of people. Quite a few. 2 billion, I would say so. The one from last week, Israel Hawkins presents alternative pharmaceutical drugs. Israel Hawkins presents alternative to pharmaceutical drugs in news article. That's doubled from last week. 247,468 news agencies running this thing that have all these big numbers behind them. The one before that, I asked this morning, how can this be, you know, that was run 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, and how are these people still latching on to this and reading it and it coming up? Well, we don't know, but we're going to find out or try to find out, but it's a great thing. This one is up to almost 300,000. It's 299,913. Now that's the one that was run 2 weeks ago. Israel Hawkins speaks on gay rights and what the Bible really says about them. And of course, they're going to find out in that article that the United States governments is not really the ones that's running the United States governments. It's not running the Supreme Court. The Vatican is running the Supreme Court, but the Vatican is running every nation on earth right now. They're all worshiping ISIS. And of course, there's been some people griping about that because that was the exposure of all these religions, that they're all worshiping Satan and her gods. And of course, Satan, as you can see in Yakiska, the 14th chapter, her plan is to bring man to nothing, just to destroy man, heaven, and earth. There's some pretty impressive names, but I don't want to take time to name these newspapers, all of them. We're at the top again on all of this. So you can see it's backed up with Yahweh's actions of what the two elders that just spoke here was bringing out. Let's see, I told you about the mother of Hezekiah. That's number 21. That Kohan Eliyahu Haller Hawkins is going to bring more on that the next time he speaks on the subject. But, Greek. That's what I meant to tell you. The Greek in number 21 means jump for joy. Jump for joy. Remember? Jump for joy. That's the way I feel. You can too, you, if you find your joy in Yahweh. In Deuteronomy 12, let's look at that right quick. And this is your job. This is what you should be concentrating on. Learning to do this. Learning to find this joy in Yahweh. And Yahweh calls you to His house for that purpose. He didn't call you to His house to judge it or to criticize your neighbor. He called you to the house to let you overcome and learn that this is the most joyous place on the face of the earth, and you never want to leave it for any reason. In Deuteronomy 12, he said, these are, verse 1, these are the statutes and judgments, the law, which you must observe to do. It's a must. There's no getting out of it. It's a must. And Yahshua said the same thing in Revelations 22:14. Blessed are those that do Deuteronomy 12:1, for they have right to the tree of life. The tree of life is now offered again. It was offered once and it was turned down. It was taken away from mankind until Genesis 49 was the prophecies come true, come to be fulfilled. And I've explained that many times, so everyone should know that by now. We are the finishing. We're the seventh work on the seventh lampstand that was given to Moshe, the seven lampstand that was seen by Daniel, that was seen by Zechariah, that it was seen with the high priest and the man called the branch, the man. Remember those words because they all come into play when you're finding here a little and there a little. And you can find these answers then. In verse 2, he said, you must utterly destroy all the places where the nations shall drive out, worshipped. Where the nations you shall drive out, worship their gods. Now, of course, the religions, they claim to follow this. And of course, the nation Israel, they wanted a king so they could do this. But, you know, they were taking one scripture out and saying, we got to kill people. And there's nothing there for them to kill. You know, there's nothing there that teaches killing or war or anything. In any of these things that he gave to Moshe to teach the people, there was not one single thing that told them to go to war. They're the ones that chose to go to war and do their own fighting. And they did this. And they built, they chose kings, and then they went to fighting each other. Not just the ones that they thought they were supposed to kill and destroy. The way Yahweh put this thing together, they'd have to go by the prophecies to know this is going to be fulfilled in this generation. Not by us, not by power nor by might, not by destructive bombs. It's going to be destroyed by our teaching. By our teaching, we're going to bring this about. And 2 billion people are going to listen, and they're going to repent and start obeying. But it never was meant to be the way they did it. Everything they did was wrong. You stiff-necked and rebellious people, you always resist Yahweh's laws. Remember that Acts 7? You always resist what Yahweh tells you, and you twist it around, and then you go off doing your own thing, and you get yourself in trouble. What we're doing is building a kingdom that's in unity, that can walk together with Yahweh. You can't walk together with Him unless you're in unity with Him. And the first thing the commandments teach you, don't kill, don't murder. He who lives by the sword, Yahshua said, is going to die by the sword. If the people who worship ISIS would just look around them at what they're doing, they could see this is not bringing peace. The destruction is getting worse every day. The bombs are getting bigger every day. And they even plan on making larger ones than what they got. This is their mindset. Well, you must destroy it. Yes, we must. But we got to do it the way Yahweh said. We can't pick up a gun and start killing people. They'll kill you. You'll die by the swords you picked up. We're the ones that's supposed to beat the swords into plowshares and the spears into pruning hooks. We're going to. You'll learn war no more. That's the teaching. It was the teaching right here in this book that Moshe was teaching these people, and they rejected it. Moshe offered Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, he offered them peace. He didn't offer them this righteousness in Egypt. You know, he offered them a land flowing with milk and honey. Well, of course, that's what the popes are offering too. Let's go in and kill all these people, take their land, we'll divide their wealth, we'll all be rich. That was the promise of the popes. Well, it's the same thing that Moshe offered the people and brought them out of Egypt. And you brought us out here, offering us a land of milk and honey. You brought us to a desert. And a tent where you could speak to us? Is that the milk and honey you're talking about? Yes, it was. That's the milk and honey. And if they'd have took it seriously and obeyed it, you know, there would have never been a war between the people, the 12 tribes of Israel. But Yahweh said in Genesis 49, you got to remember this. This is the way it's going to be, you stiff-necked and rebellious people. This is going to go out to all the nations. What is in you is going to go out to all the nations. You have the chance to go take it the other way. You could take this the other way, the peaceful way. But he says, you're not going to do it. This is the way you're going to do it, because you're going to reject Yahweh. And Yahweh said, this won't be a part of my counsel. It'll never be a part of my counsel. My counsel is not by power, not by might, but by Yahweh's laws. Holy Spirit, or Spirit Holy, which is the laws of Yahweh. That's the Spirit that comes down from heaven. I hope I made that clear. I'll harp on it some more later. It includes Yahshua, that destroying these. Now, we're preaching that you're going to destroy yourselves. And we can't stop that. We can't stop the nuclear wars from coming. Yahweh said they won't repent. They won't even repent of what they're doing now after they see so many killed and the land destroyed and everything. They won't even repent of that. That's what Revelations 9:21 and 22 showed. They won't repent of their pharmaceuticals. You saw the news. What's this is coming to in this time period now, right now, as we live in this generation, they won't repent of that. But this plan included Yeshua and a bunch of donkeys who were in agreement with Yeshua and with Yahweh. And of course, the donkeys, if you caught that today, that is so beautiful. And there's more to it than that, a lot more. It's almost endless, this number in Scripture and number in the plan of Yahweh and the birthdays. If you went to work right now figuring up what Yahweh probably showed you in your birthday alone, you know, you'd be for years. You could be doing that instead of lusting, you know, after things that you don't really need. What is going to turn this thing around is the plan of Yahweh, and Yahweh plans that nothing is going to be restrained from them. And then the knowledge is going to be increased. The knowledge increased. Let's be turning over to Zechariah. But the knowledge would be increased, and the bombs would be made with that knowledge increase. Of course, there would be other things made with that knowledge increase also. And that's so the house of Yahweh could reach the world. I keep pushing our team, you know, find me more ways to reach the world. And of course, they're working at it, and they're coming up with things almost daily that we are doing. We're putting it into action. The new study, the Yisrael Says program. Brethren, that is the greatest thing on the face of the earth right now. you want to preach a sermon? Get that program. You can preach from that. You 24 hours a day for the rest of your life in that one single program. In Zechariah, Zechariah 4 and verse 6. Now, you should know these chapters here pretty much by heart right now. You know, and it's speaking of the olive trees. It's speaking of what Revelations 11 speaks of, the two witnesses, the two olive trees, the two lampstands, because that's the finishing work of Yahweh, as shown in chapter 10 of Revelations, when the seventh lampstand, when that seventh lampstand speaks. Yes, when that one speaks, then Yahweh's secrets are going to be revealed. And that there was no way, and this is what's going to destroy this mess that we see right now. We're changing the minds and hearts of the people. That's what is shown in Hebrews. Hebrews, with our high priest over the house of Yahweh, Hebrews 10:21, verse 16 of that chapter says he's putting the laws of Yahweh in their minds and in their hearts. He's writing them there. Our high priest stands with us in this job that we're doing. Yes. And Yahweh says, I'm going to make your enemies your footstool. That's the plan. Before the earth was, he has this plan. And everything is going just exactly according to this plan, as he said in Yochanan 1:1. Well, here in Zechariah now, we see the lampstands spoken of in chapter 4, verse 2, the lampstands. And of course, Revelations 11, when it's speaking of the two witnesses, says this is the two lampstands. This is the two olive trees. Somebody put as it were. I don't know why they added those words. It's better without it. This is the two lampstands. As it were, what are we, fairy telling? Back to Hollywood or something? Why would we put that there? I didn't put it there. It got there, though. But this is how, as one of my sons brought out, the tricks of Satan, the power of Satan. You know, she has a way of influence. And, of course, when unconverted people are not doing their jobs correctly, or they put themselves above the priest, then these mistakes or deliberate changes can take place. We're exposing them. That's our job. The priest's is job. Yes. Well, chapter 4 now, in verse 6, he tells you how Deuteronomy 12:2 is going to take place. Is it war? You see anything there that would indicate that we would start bombing people, trying to kill people, when a commandment, one of the Ten Commandments, says no murder? Where could you ever get something like that in your mind? Well, that's the power of Satan, as the young priestess brought out. Yes, that's the power of Satan. If this was given in Genesis 1 also to the first two groups of people called trees, one priest was Abel, the other was Cain. And Satan had a way of sneaking in the teaching in the house of Yahweh, the tree of life, which is the house of Yahweh, also called the kingdom of Yahweh. She has a way of doing these things. Well, here now, he says, these are the two olive trees, the two lampstands, and then later down he calls it, verse 12, the two olive branches. Well, one died. We got the prophecy of that, so we know there's only one branch left. The man called the branch. The man called the branch. And you see that over in chapter 6, and where Yahshua is supporting this work, not a work that will kill and destroy, not a work that wants to murder or create bombs. I noticed on the news last night, they were showing between sex commercials. I don't know if anyone catches that but me. But I know some of you must, because it was pointed out to me. But I already knew it. But the next time, if you see this commercial, I always flip it off when I'm trying to watch the news. And I'll mash mute and turn my head. But they had this food advertised. Now, let me show you how subtle Satan is. They had this food. I think it was a hamburger joint, maybe, or a pizza joint, who delivered food. The man comes home. He had a Christian marriage, of course. Oh, that's a desirable thing. Oh, man, a Christian marriage. Here comes the bride down the hall, down the aisleway with a long white dress, which is supposed to represent righteousness. I don't know what the cleavage was supposed to represent. Would you? Would anyone know what that might represent? And all the lustful eyes watching her. Hey, can I kiss the bride? Can I kiss the bride? Some people at that moment would take out a gun, probably, if they carried it to the wedding. Well, the man comes home. There's no supper. The man is hungry. The house is a mess. It's a wreck, and she has her hand handcuffed to her diaper or something and making excuses why she couldn't take care of her family. The next scene was the wife and the children were sitting at the table, and here comes the delivery man through the door, knocks on the door. The husband answers the door. The man wasn't even looking at the man that answered the door. He's looking at his wife sitting at the table and smiling really big time. And the wife winks at him. The husband turns just in time to see the wife wink at the delivery man and says, "Oh, no." And the expression on his face, I've felt it myself. Well, this is the Christian marriage. This is what creates wars. Christian marriages creates wars. Zechariah Yekishkia. No, Zechariah. It's not supposed to be Zechariah. It's supposed to be Yekishkia. 14. Well, this is the plan for Satan. This is how the marriages go. But Zechariah 14 and verse 13. When you come to the house, brethren, you start early by making vows. You're anxious to get into Yahweh's house. You love it. And you start making your vows and you're baptized. What do you think those vows mean? When you come here, this is the love of your life. When you first find out, hey, Yahweh is watching me. I want to be righteous like the rest of these people. My love is right here. Does it make any difference what age you are when we baptize you? We question you fully, don't we? And you make a vow to Yahweh that you love Him more than all else. All else. Yosef did. Yosef was used to extent in Egypt to bring back the children of Israel out of Egypt. He was used by Yahweh. How old was he? Well, he's a younger brother, very young. They say his other brothers sold him. They couldn't send him because they knew that he was righteous and was prophesied to succeed. And they hated him. They could have been a part of this great work, but they hated what that man stood for. Satan put in front of him a queen and said, a queen that was probably taught the ways of Yahweh, and she wanted this man teaching her, and he was there daily teaching her, but he refused her advances. You surely remember all this. These things are written for our benefit. And either one of these things, these little things, they can turn your head and you'll start lusting and you'll wonder, well, why am I here? Why was I baptized? In Yekiskia 14, Son of man, when the sins of earth have reached their peak. Brethren, they are here. The sins of earth are the worst that I've ever seen. When I was born in 1934, all the women kept their bodies covered. They didn't wear revealing dresses. They didn't walk down the hall getting married in a revealing dress. All of this came from Follywood, who's owned by the Catholic Church. When you expose your bodies, man or woman, which they do this on television, when you expose it and you sit there and you watch this or on television, this comes into your mind and it's something you can't stop. Once you let it in, you can't stop it. Then you've got to start fighting to get it out again. You should have gotten it out to begin with and set your mind on studying Yahweh's way, and then I wouldn't even have to be explaining it to you. I wouldn't have to tell you, no, a gun is not the answer. A bomb is not the answer. This is crazy to think that Yahweh wants us to destroy these religions physically. He wants us to teach righteousness. He wants us to set the example of righteousness. Yes, be in unity with Him, not with Follywood. Son of man, when the sins of the earth have reached their peak, their full measure, I will stretch out my hand against it. This is mistranslated, of course. Satan made Yahweh look bad and made it look like Yahweh was causing this. It's translated perfectly altogether different from that Yahweh has prophesied that it's going to be the dealt a hand by themselves that's against them. And they're bringing it on themselves. They'll be cut off. Its supply of bread. The supply of bread will be cut off. Did you know that's occurring? Did you know that's occurring in the fourth part of the earth, in and around the great river Euphrates right now? You know why America is protected? Surely, if you just think, you could be dwelling on this instead of lust. You could be dwelling on this instead of watching a stupid television show that fills your mind with craziness, with evil like the gods. Shut off the supply of bread. We're in it. We're at the peak of sin right now, brought about by Hollywood and the Catholic Church. The Vatican that sits on seven hills, I didn't count them, I didn't put that in Revelation, that's going to be destroyed along with the earth in 1 hour. 1 hour. How could Yahweh know it's going to be 1 hour? And write it down for you. And why would He? Hoping that you would see this and see the power of Yahweh and the real might of Yahweh, which is His laws, statutes, and judgments, that will turn this thing around, where there will be no more war. And He said, bread will be cut off, send famine upon it, cut off man and beast. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Eob, were in it, they would deliver only themselves. By how? By what? By breaking your vows? Oh, how could I ever believe you again if you break your vows? How could Yahweh ever believe you again? And they asked me, well, what do I do now? I said, try sackcloth and ashes. That's what I did. Sackcloth and ashes. Try it. Weep and mourn. When you get these feelings of breaking your vows to Yahweh that you made when you were baptized, the rest of everything else came later. When you give an elder or a counselor your word, and you say, I'm going to abide by this, and you didn't, try some sackcloth and ashes and let your counselor see it too. But main thing is let Yahweh see your heart and see if it's sincere this time. Or are you a liar that nobody can trust forever? Your counselors can save your life. But if you don't allow them to, they won't. If you lie to them, people come and they lie to cover up their actions. You can't lie to Yahweh. Yahweh knew before you were born this very thing. What He wants to do now is see what you're going to do. Your counselors will tell you what to do. I'm telling you now, you need some sackcloth and ashes and true repentance. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you!